Well, Father, I just pray that you would just quicken your word to our hearts and light a fire in us today, God, that will not go out. Just fan the flame that you have already kindled in our hearts, God, and fan it into a roaring flame, Lord, so that we can be bright and burning, shining lights for you, Lord, fearless and bold, tenacious, God, and unstoppable for your name. We ask that you would do that for us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. If I could get someone to get just a little bit of water for me in a cup, that would be great, because I just got this upper respiratory thing that's drying me out. Thank you. Thank you, Ty. Well, praise God, we're studying the Gospel of John. And you may remember a few weeks ago, we came to that place in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 8, verse 12, where Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What a promise. Amen is right, brother. I've been in that darkness. I don't know about you. That's not a fun place to be. I don't like walking in darkness. I much prefer walking in the light. Man, in the light, you can see the beauty that is there. You can see the clarity and definition in front of you. You don't bump into things and stumble and fall and scrape yourself up and get all bruised and broken and battered. In the light, you can see where you're going. You can have direction and meaning and purpose. Thank you, Ty. And you can make the right turns where you're supposed to make them. I remember one time, years ago, I was trying to find the dump over outside of Denton. I forget the name of that particular dump. Missy remembers. She got that look on her face. We were going in the dark, and I knew it was a right turn up there somewhere, and we came up to where I thought it was, but it was so dark. There were no lights out there, and it was a clouded sky. It was like pitch dark. And even with the headlights, it was hard to see where I was going. So I made my right turn just where I thought the driveway to the dump was, and it was getting kind of bumpy as we were going. The next thing I knew, I looked around like, we're in somebody's field. I got to get out of this thing before they come and shoot us. The turn for the dump was over here, and I came up and turned before I got there. Next thing you know, I'm driving through somebody's field. You know, you do that in life, and you think you've made the right turn, but when you're walking in darkness and God is not guiding you and your choices are directed by principles that are not of God, you can find yourself out in a field somewhere in the dark, and it gets to be a pretty bumpy road. I've had plenty of that. I don't need it anymore. I would rather walk in the light with Christ. Thank you very much. Praise God. So we began talking about what does it mean to walk in the light? Because it is a metaphor or a simile or something, metaphor, I guess, an analogy. But what does it really mean where the rubber meets the road on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? What does it mean to walk in the light? How do we really apply that to our life, to follow Jesus and walk in the light of Christ? Well, the first thing we talked about that first week was that it involves removing or casting off the works of darkness and putting on the armor of light, to take those things that are inappropriate and unseemly and cast them off and put on the light of Christ, to literally put on Christ. We said if you're going to walk with Christ, you got to have your walking clothes on. You never see somebody in the gym on a treadmill running 5 miles in a three-piece suit with a vest and a tie, or in an evening gown with high heel shoes. That's insane. If you're going to walk, you got to have some walking clothes on. You got to have walking shoes on. If you're going to go hiking, you better be wearing your walking shoes, because high heels are not going to cut it. So if you're going to walk with Christ, you got to be dressed to walk with Christ and put on the armor of light and put on Christ and cast those other things off. The following week, we said that light by its very nature exposes things. When you turn on the light, you can see what's in the room. When light comes in, the darkness flees. Things that otherwise might go unnoticed become visible in the light. If somebody is lurking, you know, the old secret agent movies and all, they always got some karate guy in the closet, some assassin, and when the hero walks into the room, you know, the guy leaps out of the closet or something like that, or he's hiding in the dark, and maybe he's in a chair over in the corner, he's got a gun. If you've got the lights on, you see this guy, but if the lights are off, man, he's going to take you out. And there are things in our heart and things in our life that can take us out unless the light of God exposes them so we can deal with them and get them out of our life. And so if we are truly walking with Christ, and Christ is the light of the world, then we should expect that he is going to expose us to ourselves. Amen? Praise God. Otherwise, we're not truly walking in the light. We're only deceiving ourselves. So if we're walking with Christ in the light, we should not be dismayed if he begins to expose some things in us that we need to change. Rather, we should embrace that and rejoice in that and then confess those things to God. In other words, agree with God about that. Rather than giving God a whole lot of attitude and excuses and rationalizing, well, you know, it's just, I just need a break and it's just my way of dealing with stuff. Instead of, moaning and groaning, just say, God, you're right. I was wrong. Man, change me. I don't want to be like that. I want to grow in Christ. I want to be the full stature of a man in Christ or a woman in Christ. I don't need that other stuff. So if we're walking in the light, we should expect it to expose us. And as we get that junk and garbage out of our life, then we take that out from between us and God, and we can know him deeper and more fully and more intimately and have a joyful, thriving, vibrant walk of fellowship with God. I want to know God. That's why I'm here, so I can know him better. I'm pretty certain that's why you're here today, so that you can encounter him and know him deeper and more fully as each day goes by. So we need to, number one, be clothed with light. Number two, we need to be exposed by the light. Number three, we want to look at a third aspect of walking in the light, and that is to be known as the light. To be known as the light. Now we said in John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Well, in Matthew 5:14, he said to his followers, you are the light of the world. And then in verse 16, he kind of exhorted them and said, so let your light shine before men. Let your light shine before men so that they can see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Our lives are a testimony to that light. Now, Jesus is the light of the world. And then he said his followers are the light of the world. And the real only difference between the two of those things is that Christ is and has always been by his very nature light, pure holiness, pure truth, pure life, pure light. And we more or less reflect that light. He is that way inherently, and we reflect his light because his light now dwells in us when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's kind of like the sun and the moon. The sun is a big gaseous fireball. It's made of light. Its very nature inherently is light because it's on fire. It's, a big old ball of fire out in the sky, in space. But the moon, even though it is a luminous body and it gives light at night, if you've got at least a moonlit sky, you can kind of a little bit see where you're going. The moon has no light of its own. It simply reflects the light of the sun, exactly. And so that's the difference. We are the light of the world also, but we don't have light that is inherent to us. We radiate and reflect the light of Christ who shines through us when we get that junk and garbage out of our life. So he said, he is the light of the world. He says, those who follow him are also the light of the world. And the bottom line is that we need to fully grasp and understand who we are, who I am, who you are in Christ. Because if we understand who we are, then we can begin to act like who we are. If we don't know who we are, we really have no definitive way to know how to act. But if we understand who we are, then we can act like who we are. If there was a king who didn't know he was a king, he wouldn't act like a king. If there was a policeman who didn't know he was a policeman, maybe he got hit on the head during a scuffle and he had amnesia, didn't know he was a policeman, he would stop acting like a policeman. Same thing with the fireman. He would drive by the fire and just look. Ooh, look at that.